evening, friends, let us unite in prayer. Almighty and eternal Father, can we thank thee as we come into thy presence to worship you in spirit and truth. You have given unto us thy word, the guidance of thy spirit, the key to understanding thy purposes as you have unveiled them as they relate to the earth. We are thankful that as thy children we can say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, that we can look in tomorrow with the confidence of the surety of thy word. You recognize that you impute unto us thy righteousness, unworthy though we are, because we believe thee and because we move ahead upon the assurances of thy purpose, knowing that a great and mighty host of thy children shall accomplish the purposes which you have ordained as they catch the vision activated by thy power over the center of their consciousness to cause them to realize, as they move ahead to build a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, never left to other peoples. Recognizing thy sovereign hand, thy greatness, and thy power, understanding the day in which we live, and thanking thee for all that is being wrought, we say thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and that we ask it. Amen. We turn tonight to the subject of Earth's greatest day, not looking back at our yesterdays, but looking ahead at our tomorrows when we talk about Earth's greatest day. If we could stand partly back, somewhat abstractly surveying the earth, if we could see this earth spinning as it spins around its axis, hurtling as it does across its course in its great elliptic as it relates to its yearly track, and see it as though we could stand back and watch it, just a tiny speck among the vastness of the solar systems of the Milky Way, and recognize that on this little planet Earth, the whole developing purpose of the forces of the universe are at conflict. Here on this tiny little speck in all the universe, the theater of the universe is putting on its greatest spectacle, and here its most important pageantry is taking place. Only involved in this is not only the vitality of the life and the destiny of every being throughout the universe, but the whole structure of the authority of the God that holds it together is involved in the events that are taking place. If by any capacity of opposition or destruction, the decisions and the purposes of the Most High God were not accomplished, then this earth itself would disintegrate, and the course of the universe would fall apart in one consuming destruction. But I can assure you tonight that you do not have to worry about this, for over the trillions of years of existence beyond the endless ages of your capacity and mind to remember to think, the universe has been progressing under the great and eternal creative activities of our Father, creating and resting, running the cycles of His purpose. And we must find our relationship to these events and to these situations. And we tell you that the greatest and most unusual spectacle the world has ever witnessed is still ahead. So we talk about these things. Let's set the panorama, the backdrop of the tremendous and important events that are being played upon this stage. We do not have to go into all the facets of detail that have affected the panoramas of the past, but we have the great conflict between the mighty God of the universe and a tremendous, powerful archangel that rebelled against him to take the whole Milky Way system and throw it into chaos. One third of the hosts of the heaven joining the forces of rebellion under the tremendous persuasive power of this twisted and mentally unbalanced archangel, though he filled up the sum full of cunning, and he was one of the wisest among the universe till the day he rebelled. Lucifer, who became the devil, Lucifer, who became Satan. If you could put your mind back to remember the things that you witnessed in the ancient past, and I speak to you as the children of the Eternal, who were with the Father before this particular cosmic order was framed, who knew about the rebellion in its ancient days when an archangel refused to acknowledge you as the family of God and greater than he was. And then the struggles that issued that rent the whole structure of what was the peaceful order of all the planetary systems of the Milky Way. The sky of the father sidereal systems filled with the great forces in conflict. Michael, an archangel that stood before your father, served before your family, commanded the hosts of space. and behind him were the numbers of craft and ships that stagger even your mind and mine. Thousand times a thousand times thousands of ships were at the command of Michael went forth before the throne of your Father. And we're told about this in the revelation of these mysteries to Daniel as it is brought to his remembrance to proclaim. And sweeping like a comet across the skies of the north are the great and fighting fleets of Lucifer. And with him is Beelzebub and Luki and Azael and Amraphel and great numbers of the rebellious angels that rebelled with him. And making up the flagships of his command are subordinate and fallen angels. And behind them the hosts streaking across space, taken from planet after planet, of Negroes and peoples gathered here and there, and they have been armed with weapons, weapons as they have never known before, to invade planet after planet and people after people, to chop them to pieces, to destroy them, to utterly break their power unless they submit to an archangel who has lifted himself up as the master dragon of the universe. Such a spectacle in the patterns of the ancient past that involved the vastness of space and the numbers of peoples involved are so far removed from your abilities at remembrance in this physical body, except the spirit were to bring it to your remembrance, that you do not find it recorded in the pages of your history books. Yet among the sacred writings of the ancient scrolls of our race are preserved unto us the knowledge of these patterns of mystery, somewhat limited in its discussion, but when fit together as a vast mosaic, lay the panorama of the events which shake the world tonight and which will bring it to its greatest spectacle in the days which are just ahead. When we turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation and find summed up so smugly in a few verses, but still recording this pattern that Michael, the archangel, the dragon, the Lucifer, the devil, Satan, and his angels fought against Michael, the archangel, and all the hosts of the Most High God, and Michael defeated him in outer space in a historic battle of the endless ages of yesterday, and left a crippled and broken fleet of Lucifer and some of his minions find their way to earth. And when coming in to deliver the coup de grace, the Most High God said, "Now hold just a moment, Michael. Here's where we'll let him hold this little sphere that was a part of his dynasties. Here we'll let him re-coordinate his power. And then here I will now carry out my strategies." And thus we come to the record of the Adamic race. For the strategy of God, the strategy that we might look back, if we could separate ourselves from this for a moment, to survey the earth and what's transpired upon it since that historic day when God, by a strategy which was his, said, "I will plant in the earth a offspring of my own being. I will start this race, and I will place in this offspring, which will thus be begotten, the celestial household of my many sons. I will send them from heaven to earth by this mystery of birth. I will multiply and increase this family which I will place in the earth. I will move into the earth, and the procedure by which I will move into the earth to conquer it, well, I'll start a race, and then I'll protect that race, I'll guide that race, and though they move into conflicts and falls, I will multiply that race, and they'll become a nation, great nations, a company of nations. They shall war against the darkness. Evil shall fight them because they are my sons. Every attempt to destroy, seduce, and break them down will be used, and because I am God and I have the power, I shall redeem them. I shall adapt this race that I shall put in the world to rise and to conquer it with a capacity even in physical bodies beyond that which the enemy can understand. I will place an intricate mechanism deep in the seat of their consciousness that my spiritual wisdom and their spirit beings can relay with impact to their consciousness the thing that I want them to know. Though they lose their powers of discernment through the areas of their violation, yet will I retain this power to send great shock charges of spiritual power into their consciousness to adjust them to my purpose." And thus it is the Most High and the Eternal had a strategy for the defeat of his enemy, for the breaking of his power, for the overthrow of the forces of darkness. And he who would not acknowledge your race was going to be forced to acknowledge that race in the earth and to know that you were the household of the Most High God. We point out to you that not only was this a strategy of the Father, but he begat an Adamic household, issue of his spirit-embodied people. They violated the law most important for the preservation of such a race, the production of such a society, and that was racial self-respect, no intermingling, no violation of divine law. For the greatest of divine curses falls upon the strategy of Luciferianism to destroy the house of God. Mongrelization and absorb them in their one man's family, or still continue to try to swallow them up by the numbers as they, in this climactic hour, are great nations. All the strategy of the Most High God requires nothing to supplement it. No one can say God took the wrong route, he should have done it another way. God's God, he does as he wants to. He says, I will do all of my purpose. I will carry out the fullness of my pleasure. No one shall stay it. And so a race arrived. It multiplied. It started to fulfill its responsibilities. It violated divine law. It lost part of its cognition power. It took upon itself a guilt complex, but had not lost its identity as the household of the Most High. And throughout the course of the measures of time, the eternal Master God of the universe, who makes the background of such a spectacle, communicated to his people. He walked with them, he spake to them, he called out seven men and energized their thinking. He made out of them patriarchs, and others he made prophets. He inspired some to write. He gave the mysteries. He unveiled the blueprint. He told his race what the course of events were going to be. And throughout that period of time, they fought against the powers of darkness. They, at some times, were overwhelmed and delivered by miracle form. But this is the story of a race, and the story of a planet, and the story of a struggle, and the story of a design. And one of the great secrets for ultimate victory lie in the eternal power of the intelligence of the mind of such a God to activate the seat of consciousness inside of each one of these people who spiritually sent from heaven to earth would now embody this race of the Adamic household. This secret weapon that the Most High God had to reach right into the very intelligence of his people, shock treatment if necessary to bring them to their awareness, but the power to call every one of his sheep out by name, to challenge that one, to cause them to understand at his own time. In the course of the purposes of the Most High, the increase of your race and its multiplication was one of the evidences of the ability of God to protect a society with all the hosts of darkness knowing who they were. With every design to swallow you up, and still they couldn't carry it out. I point out to you that in this hour we have come through a long panorama of history. We have watched the migration of the great household of God. We watched it grow from tribal units into a great nation. We watched it divided by fifth columns and subversion as the struggle for the earth went on. We watched its tribes separated because of the lack of wisdom of some of its leaders under fifth columns of unassimilatable power. We watched an endless fifth column of Satan's unassimilatable children called the Jews penetrate every facet of your society and wage war against it. We watched your race, because it violated laws, go into periods of chastisement, always as God laid out the blueprint and told them why. Into captivities in Babylon, into captivities in Assyria, and then emerging as his own prophecies had declared they would. Migrating to new parts of the earth, settling Western Europe, developing a great society of Christian civilization. And they continuously were battling against the powers of darkness, the forces of evil, that swept fast-moving armies across the steppes of Asia, that hurled the hordes of Genghis Khan against your civilization, that revolted with every contrivance of time and history against the household of the Most High God to destroy it, and still outnumbering and continuing their expanse in all their evil processes, their fallen religions, their satanic schemes. They were unable to exterminate the kingdom. We have watched the hand of God step in as he built this kingdom of heaven on the face of earth and permitted it to grow to great nations. We've watched those nations locked in titanic struggle. We have watched terrible wars between these that were the household of God, sowed by Satan's own minions and emissaries as they gained entrance into these nations. And thus we have watched these struggles in World War I, in World War II, and now the great preparation for World War III, which has already started. I point out for you that in the areas of these things we should not have been taken unawares. We are becoming aware more and more as knowledge and wisdom is being brought back to our attention as to whence these troubles come and whence this great evil that attacks our society has had its origin. And so tonight we stand in 1965 in one of the great historic hours of human history. If we look out over the earth, we see tonight another spectacle. We see the spectacle of the powers of darkness and the forces of evil trying to crush out the last of God's kingdom. Again, we must look to strategy and we must look to declaration. What if we were again to span our eyes out across the vastness of the universe, we discover that all is not calm. There is activity out there. If we could have an ability to scan the horizon 180 degrees and could see the minute objects that are moving against the size and immensity of space, we see great and mighty fleets and huge armies are moving out there, not too far removed from this little planet. Yes, and if we tonight could fly with speed that we have the ability to do even with our own inventions around the earth and then pause to hover over portions of the earth, we see great armies are moving also on the earth. We see that forces are getting ready for something unusual, and we would discover that we were approaching one of the most important hours in human history. Now make no mistake about it. Lucifer's had this world for thousands of years, but it belongs to our father, and he said, it's my ownership, I own it. And I've given it to my heirs, my sons and my daughters. We're going to take it. Now the strategy of God is to take this earth away from Lucifer by conquering his power, breaking his force, and taking possession of it. The cunning of his strategy were to transplant his race here, multiply, infiltrate, become strong and powerful, and overthrow Lucifer. And that's where you're engaged in tonight. Oh, they're hostile against you. The world order doesn't want to be taken over by God. They want to keep on worshiping the devil, and they don't have anything to say about it. Now, under the course of this, the forces of darkness and in blindness never know what's exactly good for them, but the Most High God does. And we can assure you that this masterful plan of God is not only going to work to its fulfillment, but it's going to see its huge and tremendous development in our time. If we turn over in the book of Revelation, we see the blueprint of what constitutes Earth's greatest day. Not only does the Most High declare it, but almost 2,000 years ago, he inspired one of his apostles when he came to earth in another one of his masterful strategies. God walked the earth, observed its condition, reanimated his people. He carried out an area of atonement to put at one with himself, his people who by guilt complexes and error were separated in part from him. By this strategy, God therefore didn't come to earth with a great fanfare. To the extent that great and mighty armies accompanied this first advent. This first advent was prophesied, declared, and unto the wise it was given to know. The heavens declared it, the armies of heaven accompanied him, celestial forces were in the sky, but secretly he made his advent, born as a babe among men, and grew up very God dwelling among us. For I, Yahweh, am thy Yahshua, was his declaration in Isaiah. The archangels secretly heralded this coming to the vessel that was to be his mother. But in the course of this destiny and this strategy of God, he grew up and dwelt among men. He demonstrated it to those he wanted to understand. And to the sheep of his pasture, he made them known that he was their shepherd and their God. He said, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, I give them eternal life, and they never perish. His miracles and his power proved beyond question he was God. The enemy finally became aware that this was the fulfillment of their opposition. His death was important. The strategy of the fifth column of a fallen archangel was found in the scriptures. He therefore, surrounding this embodiment of God with his own enemy, plotted daily with these his offspring how to put him to death. And so the Jews, who are the children of the devil, have no part nor lot with the divine origin, plotted throughout the ministry of Jesus to kill him. Thought their plot had come to their full, that their fifth column agent had finally accomplished his betrayal, and their control by their gold and their power over the governments of earth had brought the final defeat of this purpose of God. Thought they'd hold the earth forever and that God would be defeated, and they would then catapult this back out into the Milky Way and take over the citizens of heaven. Yes, they thought when they heard a judge pronounce this man is not guilty, but see ye to his death, that they had triumphed. And then when they had crucified him, they thought that now we have won the great victory, though they knew not that they were just putting on a spectacle that the destiny of time had decreed, because the Most High had said that this would transpire and he would be that lamb that would pay the price for his own people. And they themselves became the executioners to their own defeat. Though when they saw that body sealed away in a tomb, all the powers of darkness thought they had won their battle, the body of God was dead. And then they were to find in 3 days' time they had lost that battle, for a great tremendous earthquake rocks the earth again. The very dead of the household of Adam come out of the grave. The very spirits leave the heart of the earth. The nether world cannot hold them. Luciferian power is broken. And the great armies and hosts of heaven receive the celestial sons of the Most High God back into the plains of spirit while their race just keeps rolling on. Now animated by new vision. Now having death conquered. Having new courage, a new challenge, and a new dynamic is transmitted to a people as God activates the mechanism in their consciousness. Releases the processes of His Spirit. Pours it out upon them to expand their understanding, for the greatest day in human history was just ahead. So we watched a new dynamic organization. Call it what you will. It was a secretive organization. It met underground. It had the sign of the fish. Whenever it met on top of the earth in open assembly, they were persecuted. Forces came to put them to death. Armies rode against them. It was the church. A ecclesia, a secret organization of the Most High, a great column of spiritual power. What was its purpose? To take over the earth. Oh, how some people misunderstood the strategy. They thought this institution was a stairway to get back into the sky, and it was a secret force organizing the earth to take it over. Oh, the spectacle of time has proven how true this is. For that church grew and reached out its spiritual impetus, its message, its ministry, its spiritual forces, its secret power, reached out to wherever this race of the Most High God had gone. In their migrations and in their experiences, and whithersoever they had settled, the Spirit finally reached them. They heard the message. They received the gospel. They became identified as Christian nations. And when one scanned them among the nations of men, they were that Adamic race, that white race of the Most High. How far removed over the cycles of time and over the distances that eternity had provided from the days of the great battles in the sky to now these rising forces inside the earth that produced what the world now calls Western Christian civilization. Yes, tonight we find ourselves involved in this, and from standing back and looking on, we now step into the picture. For we are of they. This is our Father's plan. We are each one a part of this strategy. We have one purpose for being here. That's to take over the earth. Make no mistake about it. This is your responsibility. This is your life. This is your inheritance. This is your background. This is your Father's plan. Now let us turn to the great apostle that was the beloved apostle, a member of our race, and one who stood close to our God as he walked the earth. And even in the humbleness of his ministry, this was a faithful servant and a faithful apostle. And the magnitude of the power of his resurrection, he was no less his apostle and was even exiled to the Isle of Patmos for his courage. Now listen. I turn then to read what he said. He tells us about what is earth's greatest day. And then the angels sounded their voices, and a great shout was declared throughout the heavens. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ, and He shall reign forever. And the elders round the throne fell before on their faces and worshiped the Most High God, saying, We give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power, and Thou hast reigned in the earth. Hear that, my friends. The greatest day in all human history, this Master God of the universe, this creator of this strategy, this transplanter of His sons, this father of our race, this father of our spirits and our individuality, this master ruler of the heavens, in combating evil, in waging war against the darkness, in defeating the archangel, the master of the strategy and the plan, will take the earth, and he shall reign in the earth. And the angels sound the word in that greatest of all days. And this is that declaration. Therefore, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ. Now let's find our relationship tonight. Inside the panorama of Revelation, there is given unto you a master key. A master key that is not understood by the enemy, even though he hears it, even though he knows what you think about, he laughs at you and plunges headlong into the entrapment of his defeat. While at the same time, we are able to identify among the peoples of our own society those that have lacked the intelligence to be guided by the master blueprint which has made their race great. They follow the fifth column strategies of an enemy that has penetrated our society. They become brainwashed to his influences. They hurt in this hour of our trouble. For we are living in the plan, the pattern of our Father, in what's known as the time of the trouble of our race. In the time of the trouble of our race, we find that the forces of the enemy have fifth columned our land. They have advised wrongly our leaders. They have used the power of their purse and the power of their skill. They have tried to make us an apathetic society by gaining control of communication. And while seeking to paralyze this society, they've sought to raise a force to take us over. What a panorama of event in history. For out of the lips of Christ himself and to those of his apostles and through the background of his plan, a master world government would design. Subtly it would be presented. How it would promise peace, security, and plenty. Care for everything. Meet the design and desire of everybody without their having to make a major contribution for it and without any problems or worries. Also that all things would be rolled together. He said that this would be the work of the false prophet, of the Antichrist. This world order, which would be painted up as a great humanitarian system called the Union of All the Nations, would actually be the beast system of the Antichrist. Awake, my alert, he said, and destroy this. Resist it, for I will have to destroy it in your midst in order to save you from its entrapment. In the hour of this declaration, our enemy writes a book. How the scripture says, oh, but my enemy would write a book. And so he wrote a book. He wrote two. He wrote many. But out of Soviet psychological warfare and out of Soviet programs that they have outlined in these two books, one Soviet military strategy, the other Soviet psychological warfare, our enemy wrote a book. But so brainwashed or so apathetic to the design, the forces of darkness do not even pay attention to this book, or most important, to this one. They steal their silly course while priding themselves upon their intelligence and their solution. Now I can tell you that if you want to know where you stand in this huge spectacle tonight, that the last 10 days have been expanded patterns of measure in the horizon to understand. We can tell you tonight where you're going. We can tell you what's ahead for the days which are just before you. Because we can stand back and see the spectacle. Just remember that last week, a week ago, last Thursday, that the voice of Mr. de Gaulle, captured by the House of Rothschild, Satan's own cunning emissaries of finance, declared that he wanted to build another block of nations to oppose and smash the economy of the United States and Great Britain and West Germany. Now, the United States and Great Britain are two of the houses of the kingdom of the great God of the heavens. And your part in this, because you were a part of it, causes you to feel and perceive even as those on the outside that cannot always do. He said, we will destroy their silver blocks, we will raise up the head of gold, and we remember the words of Daniel the prophet, says, Babylon, thou art this head of gold. Babylon is about to fall. It's making its last-ditch program, which it thinks is going to help it take over the world, and it's going to bring about its total destruction. Also, you remember that it was while Mr. Kosygin, who represents the great, the leadership of a great center of the opposition of your father's kingdom. Your enemies are explicitly outlined in this book. You don't have to be in darkness concerning your enemy, concerning the strategy, concerning where you are tonight. You're at the end of the age. You're on the lip of Armageddon. The hordes against you are going to be the hordes of Asia, the hordes of Africa. The center of the gathering of such forces will be in the Russias and out of Magog and among the Negroes as they're brought against you by satanic forces from the south. The manpower will be supplied by the dragon and the hosts of Asia, and from the steppes they will come. For the eighth comes out of the seventh that goes into its death and judgment. So we look out over the world. You would think that there was no blueprint like this. For the fifth column comes in with honeyed phrases to deceive us. It says, why, if you don't want war, if you want peace, if you want everything fine, just throw away your big weapons. Then big weapons, join us, surrender, bring the enemy into the same program with you, and then everybody will have a voice. Nobody will argue. There'll be nothing to fight about, but we'll be outnumbered 6-1 in the earth. And God said, don't enter into this confederacy. If you do, I have to destroy it. Now let's take a look at what transpired this week. On Thursday morning of this week, Mr. de Gaulle announced, with the House of Rothschild steering it, we have banknotes, we have letters of credit against the gold in the United States bank totaling $15 billion, and we're going to take it all out in the next 30 days. Hear me now, did you hear that? You go back last Thursday and you get the Thursday and Friday morning newspapers, and France let the cat out of the bag.
We're going to take it out in the next 30 days. We're going to bankrupt the whole monetary system of the areas we can't control. And this puppet, though he's a part of a nation inside the kingdom, though it's mixed up and confused, is doing the work of the Antichrist. He says we're going to destroy, you know, your economy. Every dollar you got, all your money, could be absolutely worthless inside of 30 days. Did you know that? Do you know that the whole structure of your economy will have to be suddenly rebuilt around something else, or you've got to have leadership with intelligence enough to say, you can't have it. You'll not take out 1 ounce of this gold, because this gold is an area for the backing of areas of our government, but we put this money out to loan money for people to purchase our goods, to help them in their hours of need. Now, we'll take your money and we'll redeem it with goods, but you'll not touch our treasury. But that takes intelligence and foresight to fight Babylon ahead of gold with his own weapons. Even while this was going on, we talked to you 1 week ago, and what was the headlines as we came into the pulpit? Wave after wave of American bombers retaliate for an assault a week ago against American forces and against American planes, as we had this vast attack upon our outposts in the Vietnam area. What are we doing in the Vietnam? What's America doing halfway around the world in China? I'll tell you what you're doing. You are a part of the host, the Most High God. You're the most powerful nation in the Western world. And you must stop the powers of the Antichrist. You have been betrayed. You have been fifth columned. You have even had generals in your own ranks that have been brainwashed, like Vinegar Joe Stilwell was, by the enemy. You've had men, as you have one now, Secretary of State, but at that time, working in the Foreign Service, he supported the Red Revolution and called it an agrarian revolution, a redistribution of the Earth's surface, a muddled brain. He should never be in places of leadership even today. And when you emerged out of the struggles of World War II, you found yourself in league with the devil, because we'd been sold a devil's bill of goods, and when we got through, we were lined up with the worst enemies of humanity while we fought one another to destroy the leadership of the Earth. We were fulfilling an area of measure that was soon to close. From that day to this, we find the white nations for the first 12 years were under such tremendous impact from the conspiracies of Satan, from his world order, and from communism, that they started to grow together, until we discovered that our best friends were our former enemies. We discovered that they may not have been our enemies at all, nor we theirs, other than that we let Satan's own emissaries sow this factor. And now Western Germany, Britain, and America, who are the great resistance against the forces of communism. Well, you say the whole white race, yes, but let me tell you how satanic operations move fast. Right now, there is a man running in Sweden on the Communist Party ticket. He looks like a Swede. He acts like a Swede. He has great wealth. His family has great wealth. He gives it away. He talks about liberating the working man. He talks about all the great development of a grand society, Medicare, control of expanded education, free education for everybody, all together of the communist system. And they said Swedes are beginning to buy this, and they're afraid that Sweden will fall to communism, and Denmark wants to embrace it, and Holland wants to embrace it and throw out the Queen. Now you say, what's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. What you're faced with tonight is a massive conspiracy to capture your race, and God must start things moving at high speed to reverse this order, and he will. Now, so no wonder that the opposition that holds the strength of the Western world is found in the house of Joseph, in the house of Judah. It is found in Germanic and Anglo-Saxon houses. We discovered that we were betrayed at the end of World War II. We had made our camp with the devil, and the devil was gobbling up Asia, and he was taking over half of Europe, and he was planning on gobbling up us. And during that period of time, our allies that had had some great impact made upon them by the proclaimed faith of God's house, such as Kai-shek and his family, who were the powers and the leaders of China, were forced by trickery and chicanery out to Formosa. That was not over then, even when the weapons were not delivered, even when they were sabotaged and the weapons were thrown into the sea from the ships of your fleet. That was not all. Then suddenly we discovered that the Chinese were marching from North Korea to South Korea. And instantly we're involved again. And you remember that in this involvement that Mr. Truman suddenly declared war on the communists in the North Vietnam. This was all right, but he had one of his smartest generals there, and that general successfully carried that war, leading your soldiers all the way to the 38th parallel. He carried it all the way to the Yellow River line with success. And General Douglas MacArthur was ready to bomb and attack the enemy, coordinate the forces of Kai-shek on Formosa, bring the powers of Syngman Rhee, and invade the mainland of China to crush the Antichrist. But the fifth column said, oh no, and BB Brain Truman relieves us of our greatest general. You say, how can all this be? God said, yes, it's going to go farther than this, and so it did. For the forces now started out in a new way. Wave after wave of communist fruits attached French Indochina. I tell you this tonight, though it may seem repetitious to those that heard part of this report Friday night, remember that as it relates to French Indochina, that French Indochina was being protected by the foreign legion and by the French army, whose largest number of troops came from the German army, who dedicated to fight communism and no place to go and no place to fight at the end of the war, joined the French army and the foreign legion to fight communism. And there the flower of Diebenfuhr's defense were German soldiers and Dutch soldiers that came from Europe itself and were involved with the French in defending Diebenfuhr. This was where we were to get our first taste of the master strategy of the Antichrist in this great struggle for the earth. For with the millions upon millions upon millions that make up the Red Chinese armies, they hurled at Diebenfuhr wave after wave, men by the thousands. And the defense of Diebenfuhr was one of the great classics in courage and a design to stop the powers of evil, to hold the spread of this evil over the earth. And they came in such waves that the outposts that were held by advanced machine gun positions and mortar fire took great toll among the invading forces, but they kept on coming. We're told that they kept firing machine guns while others courageously carried the ammunition to them, and throughout every trench and under every tunnel and to every emplacement, under the barrels became so hot they virtually melted and had to be discarded as new guns were thrust in their place, and still they came. And they piled them up in mounds and mountains, and over the top came the waves of satanically, fanatically designed enemies of the kingdom, children of the Antichrist, and they swarmed over in their cry for blood. And finally, the last gun was silenced. The overwhelming storm had conquered Diebenfuhr. A few under the dead, a few out in the rubble, able to be still, finally escaped to Hong Kong, to Singapore, and out to tell their story. And we saw the last of French resistance and the fall of the French interposition to block the advance of communism in Asia. And from this time we watched the war advance to Laos, we watched it inside of Cambodia, and then we saw the creation of the false strategy of the evil advisors, and we set up a neutralist government, and whenever you force the people that are anti-communist and neutral as well to be joined to communism, communism conquers. The North Korean War against South Korea that we were engaged in, we won as far as obtaining the end of the line and conquering the land. And then we lost it because of the influences that surrounded leadership in Washington. And then under an act of God's spirit, and we had to withdraw from Guam Peninsula, go all the way back down to the southern tip of Korea and fight ourselves back to the place the war started, where we are tonight. Where at Panmunjom every morning there comes with briefcases Red Chinese and members of North Korea, stern, walking stiff-legged into this council chamber to harangue us day by day and tell us, well, you violated the truce, we're going to start the war up again, and threaten us every day. Whereas you have been secluded from this, not realizing that those that represent us and advocates of our army have to face this tirade every day and this threat that Red China and communism will reopen the Korean War, a war that cost you as a nation more than all the money that was spent from the days of George Washington to the entire height of the Roosevelt regime through World War II. Think that over. That's what the Korean War cost you alone. How it tied into your economy, what it's done to your debt relationship is just part of the strategy of the Antichrist. I point out to you tonight that here again we find ourselves on the edge of an agreement that was not kept, for the word was that this uneasy truce rests also on the fact that you should put no new equipment in to South Korea, and we will put no new equipment into North Korea, and they put 2.5 times more equipment into North Korea than they had at the height of the Korean War. They have repaired its airfields. They brought in fast-moving Blitzkrieg type of weapons, fast-moving tanks, and all types of animated artillery. And the facts remain that never has there been a stronger creation of a deadly force in any of the areas of Asia than has been formed in North Korea since that time, waiting to start war with you about 4.5 to 5 weeks from now, 5.5 weeks at the latest. Now I point out this. The design of Antichrist is to turn the hordes of Asia and Africa upon you and to tie you down, overwhelm you, while seeking to get you to make peace by selling out the last of your independence. But the Bible doesn't tell me this is the way it's going to be. This is their strategy. God says, I'll rend this with war and with the great hailstones of fire. The greatest spectacle will still come to pass, and the triumph of God's purposes is not pushed back. He hasn't changed one bit of the timetable. Everything's coming in just on time. If you can look out there, the hosts are also moving from the far corners of the universe for this purpose. Jesus lets this strategy out to those that are his household. He said that he would gather his elect from the four corners of heaven. He'd bring these mighty hosts to earth. He'd overthrow the powers of darkness. He'd see the kingdom landed in the hands of his children, that he'd carry out his destiny. Let's take a look at the events of this last week. Tonight, Mr. Kosygin has returned back to the Soviet Union. He came over with the top marshals of the Soviet Union. In Beiping, the chief genealogist of the land said, "This is our problem. We have from 240 to 300 million more people than we need anyhow. We are going to overthrow the powers of the capitalist imperialist West of the United States. We're going to drive them out of Asia. We're going to take over their hemisphere. We are willing tonight," said this spokesman of this evaluation for Mr. Mao's country just a few days ago. He said, "We are willing tonight to spend 240 million to 300 million people. If they conquer for us a continent, if they overthrow the powers of the capitalist imperialists, then they will have earned their right to survive and will have contributed to the workers' cause. If they die in this struggle, thus reducing their numbers, and we lose 300 million, we'll be stronger and more powerful for their sacrifice." They designed to kill you tonight, coming wave after wave, as they did at Diebenfeld. Now remember that God does not leave a people unalerted. He's been alerting your country from one end to the other in all kinds of patriotic organizations and movements, and all areas of intelligence and all kinds of information. Everything gets out. Everything goes. Everything spreads. And God's raised up areas of communication to spread his word and his truth, to coordinate it with it across the country. Your own tape ministry has reached out across the nation and to practically every place where white people live in the world. Already you're a part of a communications with Thus Saith the Lord. All kinds of patriotic activity has been grouped. And now we note this. Organizations self-started here and there. Organizations like Minutemen and Paul Revere's and others. And they became concerned and they armed themselves and called on citizens to arm themselves to get ready to stand against these hordes that were coming against our country. The fifth column of Chinese moving into Latin America, and I was informed not just a few hundred or a few hundred thousand. I was informed that there is now 1 million Chinamen in Latin America, from Mexico, Central America, and throughout South America, trained saboteurs, trained warriors, trained at the art of training men and hurling them against the one great obstacle of the West, the United States of America, as one of the most important units in this tiny speck hurtling through space. Now let's go back to this week we've lived in, for this is one of the most important weeks in preparation in history. There, General Mao pledged, "We'll help the Vietcong against the Vietnamese and against the United States. This is an invasion of China." They told the people over airways, "You could get it on shortwave this week. We're not invading the United States. See, they're invading us. They're over here. We shall destroy them." We have come to earth, and we did invade an earth because our Father willed it, to take it back, to set it free, to defeat the forces of darkness. We turn in the panorama of events as it leads up to this spectacle. We've had three waves of attacks. Even this fanatical, crazy, kamikaze, explosive-carrying attack that blew down our barracks as they hurled themselves into the hotels and the barracks and blew themselves up to destroy you. And then you retaliated with wave after wave of planes. You had bombed their oil supplies, you bombed their barracks, you bombed their emplacements. And we hear the statement that came from Hanoi, "This is an act of war." I'm sure it must have been. Why don't we admit this is war? Because we are in war, whether we realize it or not. And you're going to discover this more and more. You want to know what the blueprint is? The fall of Thailand, which shall be invaded very quickly. Thailand is one of your allies to the extent that it's anti-communist and that it desires to live its own life and has always held up to the blandishments of communism. But they're going to seize Thailand. They're going to move in and coordinate Cambodia and Laos under communist leadership. They're going to roll through the Vietcong against the Viet Minh in one of the greatest waves of battle, with armies moving in by the thousands and hordes moving in to make the North Korean battle look as though they had only put in a few compared to what they're ready to do. Do you know what's on the border tonight? On the Vietnamese border tonight, there's over 250,000 Red Chinese. There are more rolling in on the railroads. Our fast mobile tank units and all kinds of new equipment for fighting in the Viet Minh.
Plus that, they are ready to use up to 2 million men, if necessary, to sweep the whole peninsula so that they can outflank Japan. And they plan, my friends, the period of the next 5 weeks or so to open up the Korean War. Well, last Sunday night, the siege was at Hanoi, we were bombing the enemy. Now tonight, he has just left North Korea. What was he doing in Korea? What was he doing with the leaders of Korea? The Russian leader promised that they would stand by North Korea and all other red countries for the defeat of the kingdom, for the driving of the United States and the Western world out of Asia. At the same time, a commitment was made between North Korea and the Viet Cong that they will simultaneously reopen the Korean War. They want to tie us down again in Korea. They want to tie us down in the Vietnam. They want to tie us in a battle for Asia. And as soon as this army gets underway, then the attack on the part of the monster we helped to create will take place in Malaysia. We are duty-bound to join in the defense of both Australia and the Australians, the Malaysians, the Dutch, the British interests, and their people there trying to hold the line against communism. And I'll tell you why. If Korea falls, and with the Indochina and all of that peninsula in the hands of the Reds, then there is a bracket around Japan. Japan is defenseless. Japan will fall inevitably and fast if they outflank it. More than that, they will then take the Philippines, and we have a 20-year pact to defend the Philippines. The Hawaiian Islands will be on the route next, and you cannot abandon the Hawaiian Islands. It's not a territory. It is now a state. You must defend it to the fullness of your life. You are in the Pacific War. You are involved in a war that they plan on spreading, and this is the timetable. It will be increased activity inside of the Viet Cong. The waves of troops that you are going to be fighting, moving like the hordes that swept over Dien Bình, Cambodia, Laos, Thailand involved, expanded war suddenly in Korea, Malaysia in a struggle, battle for your own outpost in the Pacific. Meantime, down in the areas of the Middle East, the struggle is getting ready, and suddenly Russian and Jewish moves of Israel ally will move to steal and seize the Arab oil. But you will not have the time to shift your front from Asia, which ties down, which is a requisite that you hold a balance of power, that you keep them away from Bering Strait, that you keep them away from our land. They plan on flying and dropping paratroopers down in Colorado and Utah. They plan on coming in at the central portions of Canada on the west, flying to the heart of Canada, turning and coming in over all of the forested and wooded areas of the central part of our nation. They plan on putting Red Chinese in the woods of Canada, in the woods of Washington, in the forests of Oregon, along the great coastways, to cut off highways, to stand there ready as fast-fighting guerrilla units against the day when the hordes marching down will come in. The war is a total war against you. It's already in operation. I think instead of trying to disarm the American citizenry, one of these days they'll be thanking the American citizenry that they had the forthrightness to determine they're going to defend themselves. And if they come dropping out of the sky, they will be shot by the best bunch of duck hunters on the face of the earth. If they come sneaking through our woods and forests, an army far better equipped and trained than some of those that have had no experience, America's deer hunters will stop them in the forest, and their varmint hunters will pick them off of every hill. I tell you that what moves and stirs this strange little instrument that God places deep in his people, he activates it, he starts the moving, he gets them thinking, and these are all parts of a shaping up of destiny. And with it also, people are discovering who's behind it and who did it. And a great surge is going to sweep America. It's already underway. Our enemies are decrying it. They say, how are we going to stop these people on the right? Because they are afraid. One of these days, my friends, those that sought to sell us out, those that misadvised our leaders, will have to leave America and leave it fast, or the judgments of God will leave them beneath our soil forever. I point out to you that this is a great spectacle. Your father planned your occupation. He planned your growth. He told you what the enemy would do. He told you how he'd empower you to counteract it. He's told you also tomorrow, a day of victory. Yes? And just about the time that you're thoroughly involved in scattering brushwire wars in Asia that become more and more involved, that require more manpower and more equipment, the Soviet Union is going to seize West Berlin, move against West Germany, and start to push your troops through to gather everything all the way to the coast. And in that hour, not far removed from you, you're going to turn and drop your Asiatic commitments and hurl everything you've got to save the tents of Judah and the white race first. The buttons will be pushed, the weapons will soar into the sky, and there will be the great screaming of the heavens above as wave after wave of ships whose roar is greater than the Niagara come swooping in, and the flagships of the Most High God enter human affairs. Let me tell you that you're on the edge of this. Someone said a dark picture, it's a picture of victory. You're never going to win until you get into the struggle. And if you stand here and fight like you've been fighting since World War, you'll lose the whole world, never fire a shot. You realize that we don't lose wars, we lose peace. We're tricked and we're sold out by ambition and by men who have been surfeited by the lust for power by Satan's own minions. One of the most diabolical of these strategies now would involve how you're being enveloped by the world, the very world that wants to destroy you. We have men whose intellect I question, whose integrity I surely doubt, and whose understanding seems so completely limited. This very morning's newspaper, get a Times and Examiner and see what Senator Kiko of California said. Senator Kiko of California is introducing resolutions to abolish and to change all of your immigration laws. I hold it here now out of the Los Angeles Herald Examiner. He makes it quite clear that, he said, we must do away with all discrimination based on race or national origin. We must have an establishment of compassion based on justice, and we must end all these quota limitations based on a person's race or nation. He also said that it's time for us to live up to our ideals. Well, he's got one set and we've got another. We've got one, a divine set, to preserve our race, to build the kingdom, to keep our racial self-respect. He's got one to end this and to mongrelize us as a degenerate society. Therefore, he said, we cannot tolerate or ignore that the existence of an immigration policy is contrary to our ideals, that therefore it is important and antithetical to our historical emphasis on individual capacities and equality of all peoples and equality of opportunity. We must destroy the present roots of hatred and disillusionment, of violent internal conflicts that have created this thinking throughout the 19th century. We must give equal opportunity to anybody in the world to share in all the things we have, and we must recognize that we must change our policy to take into account the great importance of the social transitions of Africa, Far East, and Asia, and their Pacific countries, to permit them to share equally with us in America. Well, we didn't build this country for Asia. We built it for white men. We built it for our posterity, as our posterity was building, as our forefathers built for us. I think, actually, that Mr. Kiko belongs in a mental hospital and then should be given an intense training in history and patriotic Americanism. To preserve our species is not hatred, it's intelligence. To permit it to be wiped out is imbecility or treachery and treason. I point out to you tonight that you've arrived at the great master conspiracy, the great plan at its peak, and even as you stand on the edge of this, they're laying a plan to so divert you and to so tie you down, to so exhaust your resources, to so pull the legs out from under your production, to throw you into economic catastrophe that you'll be unable to save or use your influence in saving Europe that they plan on taking. And this, my friends, will be Armageddon at its height as you join to defend the white race, and you'll watch them come together with a solidarity that'll make the communists the most unpopular thing on the face of the earth, that'll fill the concentration camps with the enemy and the graves with their resistance. Yes, and you're going to see wave upon wave. You have never caught the vastness of the army of the enemy. As we cited Friday, and tell you again that if you marched them a mile wide at full cadence and you were to machine gun them down as fast as they came, if you could haul them away, the fact is that that army of Chinamen would never stop marching or being born and raised that fast. This is why it's important for us to realize that the powers of Antichrist call for your being engulfed. God warned you against the strategy. He gave you a sharp threshing instrument. They want to take it away from you. They're trying to persuade us, the president's cabinet, and all the strange, funny-minded people around him, to go to Geneva and surrender our heavy weapons. Red China says, yes, we won't use an atom bomb against you either. We'll make a pledge not to use it. We want the abolition of the atom bomb. They want to fight you hand to hand. They want to come like ants. They want to swarm over you. And the only way one-sixth of the world can resist these hordes is to keep control of the mighty threshing instruments in God's hands and destroy them by the thousands and the million when they come. This is why I tell you that this is an all-important hour. And it is an hour, my friends, in which God, with a blueprint, told you about it. Do you think the spectacle was great in the heavens? It was. The spectacle in earth is big for the size of the earth where it takes place, and the earth has now become the theater of the universe. But I want you to know that the Father said, I haven't abandoned you. Probably your greatest danger lies from some of the imbecilic leadership you have in your middle, in the middle of your country, from the fifth columns, from the strategies, from the design to build the kind of society that would end the kingdom. For the lack of the spiritual vision that belongs in the pulpits of the nations. And God said that He's going to raise up those that will proclaim the truth, and the people are going to turn to the truth, and they're going to forsake this area of deadness until their ministers have to forsake their churches and go out in the fields and try working at something else for change, because their own fathers and mothers will say, our sons were no ministers. They didn't proclaim the word of God. They actually tried to seduce us into a way of death, a confederacy, and a joining unto the enemy when this was against God's law. All right, the enemy hasn't changed his plan. His psychological warfare continues. He moves into areas of trying to economically break down your resistance, to fifth column your way, to even educate your children away from all patriotism and nationalism, to destroy the structure of your resistance. And the power of God now turns on this secret weapon. God starts to catalyze His people. They awaken. They discover something. And in the last few years, you watched it go. You watched the sudden growth of what they call the right wing. You may not like the word because the enemy's been working on it so hard and trying to make you dislike it. But there's only one place you find God, and that's on the right. And therefore, God has been activating you to think right, to repudiate the darkness, to grow in strength. And I'm going to tell you something. Back at the Anti-Defamation League convention a week ago, Mr. Mosk, alias Moskowitz, who is now one of your Supreme Court justices, told all of his Jewish friends and all of his liberal conspirators, including also high officials in government, do not be complacent. Do not rest upon your laurels. Yes, we captured the nation with 42 million votes, and we defeated 26 million that you now are willing to accept, that they'll go back and forget it all. But he said, I want to tell you something. They didn't forget it. They regrouped in a few days, and that 26 million is working faster and harder than ever. They're spreading out harder than they ever did before. And across this country, he said, is a great and tremendous underground revolution of the right going to try to seize and take America and push it down their road instead of ours. He said, don't relent. He said, there has been more growth and more development in the right wing since election than there was in all the time before it. So that's some of the best things I've heard. Now understand this tonight, that never have we had an opportunity to see how bewildered a people could be, how they tried to rally behind even what looked like a symbol of opposition. And I'm inclined to believe tonight that you were betrayed. I'm inclined to believe that the real great issues were never presented to the American people. If it hadn't been for what God had alerted through churches and institutions and patriotic orders, they wouldn't even know what it was about, and there wouldn't have been 26 million voting rights. And that 26 million wasn't too sure. Evidences have already been brought out that even 2 months before the decisions were made, that the title leader of the Republican Party was getting ready to concede to the internationalists to remove Birch from the head of the party. Facts are already out that he was not fighting any wing of the party as long as they carried the label of the party, and would not oppose even that which was not good, to the extent that he called on everybody to work with these internationalists. And I'm going to say to you this tonight, I believe that the forces that were directing the leadership of the Republican Party, even after they had captured San Francisco, purposely have delivered that party into the hands of the internationalists in the United States. I don't believe you've got any choice in party tonight. I believe you've got one allegiance, and that's to the purpose, the program of the Most High God, to the mighty armies of the Kingdom of Christ, to the strength of His church, until some great new thing bursts out in your midst and God produces a rider on a white horse to lead America to a new destiny. I think there's more patriotism in your armed forces and among your generals than you have any idea. I think there exists among America more of those who are aware now that something's wrong, and never has there been less voice in official Washington than you now have in Congress and the Senate, and there is a disturbance among these men that they may be selling out themselves in the last vestige of their liberty as well. I'm going to tell you what's going to change the picture. The enemy coming horde upon horde. It was only a few weeks ago, however, when any title leader of the Republican Party called for retaliation against the Reds, he was a warmonger about to push the panic button. And now, my friends, in retaliation, the president orders it, and this is statesmanship. Now, I'm going to tell you whether he would or not, he will order it. No man can face the American people and permit Americans to be slaughtered, permit the world to be seized. Our commitments with all of the West and the opening flank of the entire West Coast to take place and stand before the American people and not resist. I'm going to tell you that we are now faced with the beginning of Armageddon, with great economic crises, with the necessity of building a new economy, with the challenge of those that know the truth to proclaim it, and now start binding the darkness and call for the miracle. And one of the greatest measures of miracle that you're going to see in this great day that is ahead is that you're going to have power to make things happen as you command. And this, my friends, is one of the great advents of the great day. Yes, I go back to these words of Daniel, and I see these thousands upon thousands of these ministering craft that go out from the throne of the Most High. I hear the words that the Ancient of Days, the Eternal, is going to establish now for this embodied revelation of His being, His dominion in the earth, with glory and with a kingdom that all peoples, all nations and languages are going to serve Him. It will be an everlasting dominion, a kingdom that shall not be destroyed. This is why we keep telling you, a kingdom that shall not be destroyed. And I shall see the believing offspring, the white race, you, take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever and ever. I shall see Michael the archangel commanding the great fleets of the Most High, as the Spirit can bring back to our remembrance He commanded them in the days of the struggle. The sky will be filled with the power of His aircraft. And at the head of the flagships will be King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I think again of this greatest day which is ahead. And the angels sounded, and great voices came from the heavens. The kingdoms of this world are going to become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ, and He shall reign forever. Our eternal Lord is Yahweh, the All-Highest, and you, the embodied, many-membered body, are the Christ of God that shall reign with Him throughout the ages to come. Our Lord and His embodied Spirit, His people in the earth. Listen. Therefore, no wonder we can say, O Yahweh, God Almighty, Thou which were in the yesterdays, Thou which have existed throughout all time, and Thou which art and art to come, Thou hast taken unto Thee Thy great power and have reigned. This is your destiny. And instead, my friends, of apologizing to the earth that you've been prejudiced because you wanted your kind of people to build your kind of society, the Most High God's going to say, look at these my sons, just look at them. They built civilizations, they built culture while you were eating one another. Now bow the knee. You say that's not what God's going to say, go back and read in Isaiah what He's going to say. He's going to make the world to know He's loved you. Now, it's a pretty good strategy, and it's going to work 100%. We've invaded the world by the process of being established here as a race. We've multiplied and increased. We've become great nations. We've gone through the battles, the serpentines, the fifth columns, the struggles, and now John's already traveled to the other end, and God said we've won. And we in history are marching to this greatest day. What a day that will be. But all the hosts of earth will surrender. When the Kremlin crushed and broken, and its leadership having smashed its authority and power, have to get down and acknowledge the eternal Yahweh, Most High God, the embodied Christ, who they refused to acknowledge in the past. And they'll grovel at His feet. What a day that will be when the last of the war-making powers of the hordes of earth will be broken and crushed. When the great earth-moving equipment of your race takes 7 months to bury the dead of those that tried to destroy you, burying and destroying and covering up the hosts that you've had to destroy as they've come against you. A day when you can walk, my friends, all the way from Broadway to Main Street and never see a Jew. When the last representative that looks like he lived in Watts will be somewhere trying to plant a plantation in Africa. A day when a white man can travel anywhere in the world and not worry about anybody attacking him. For the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord Jesus Christ. We work for this day. We call it the day, tomorrow, close at hand. Some people don't like the word the day. This is what the word the day means. That great day, the day of Yahweh, God Almighty. Our day, because He is our Father. The day of our race attaining the destiny for which it was begotten and for which God placed it in the earth. So I tell you tonight that this has been one of the great preparatory prophetic weeks. Things are now moving with great speed. Enemies stand on mortars. Equipment is moving. The betrayal continues. And the secret power is being dispersed by your enemy. And throughout Latin America and surrounding you in every way, you're suddenly involved in a great hour of upheaval. The earth's about to tremble as it has not trembled for some time. Judgments are about to fall, and you're in the year which, closing in this September, starts the great judgments of God upon the enemies of the kingdom. You are almost 3.5 years from the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens. You are in one of the greatest periods of human history. There is a challenge to your race as you believe and possess with your faith the assurances of victory. And they don't know this round about this sleep, and your enemies can't understand it while it happens. But the kingdoms of this world will thus be delivered. And I tell you that in the seat of your consciousness, activated with great responses to God's challenge, is a great spiritual move on to bring you full, tall, and upright to the standard of the sons and daughters of God. This is your destiny at this time. We'll be speaking tomorrow night in San Francisco. Native Sons Auditorium. He urged each one of you to remember that these are periods where we must reach people. Call someone on the phone, drop them a card. If you have time for Tuesday night, we'll be Tuesday night in Oakland, Native, in the Key System Auditorium, 11th near Harrison. And then we'll be, no Bible study Wednesday in Lancaster because we'll be in the northern part of the state. But we'll be in San Diego Thursday and back here Friday night covering the blueprint of world events. Remember, the 17th is this week also. There are alignments. Some of them are economic, but there are possible earthquake alignments. Not as great as some coming, but watch for shakes in the Asia area and also to the west, quite a bit to the west. It could be in the island areas. We have some patterns of alignment, but it's only for about a day and a half in that measure that runs between the 17th and the 19th. But remember this, that you are under economic upheaval measures and war measures. And there is no way to dislocate yourself from this measure of destiny. So you must possess the faith to believe on how you're going to obtain victory. And it's time that we had leadership that followed the master plan. Let the enemy follow the psychological warfare and the plan of warfare of the Soviet Union. Let us follow the blueprint of the Word of God, but let's have men smart enough to know what it's all about. Now, as we take your offering tonight, we urge you with your tithes and offerings to help us reach people. Never has it been more important for us to be able to reach people and to tell them the story. Across this nation, everywhere, we have more and more people listening. We don't have to tell you over and over again that it's tape, that is the process, that it takes thousands of dollars to carry it on. That we need your tithes and your offerings, and we urge you to give generously to help reach people. You are saving your society, you are awakening your people, you are doing the will of God, the work of God, when you reach people with knowledge. Not because we repeat it, because it comes out of this book, it comes out of the air, it comes out of the areas round about, it comes out of the relay of the Spirit, because this is the hour. So we urge you with your tithes, your offerings, and your stewardship, please hold up our hands tonight so there's no problems tomorrow and no problems in the days ahead as we reach out for the spreading of this word. We urge everybody in the tape circuits and across the nation, will you give generously, will you help us reach others with tape as you have received it so that we can awaken people in these final hours. People are turning to the answers. They now discover the prophecies are coming to pass. The measures take place. And now they more than ever are becoming aware of this. And you're going to watch as sudden waves of reaction set in. It's not going to be long before you're not going to be able to find seats to put the people that want to know about the program of God's kingdom. Watch the thing happen as the earth begins to shake, as the rumble of the great crises in the West increases, as they start trying to place their fifth column into your own society. Help us now with this offering to reach these areas of truth. Almighty and eternal Father, Well, God bless you and rest upon this congregation. Bless this offering. Multiply it to the purpose of carrying forward the great gospel of thy kingdom. Do the mighty work of thy church. In thy name we ask it. Amen.
Sunday afternoon in our subject for the afternoon service on commanding the powers of heaven. This is our subject for next Sunday afternoon, commanding the powers of heaven, the rights of every son of God, every daughter of God in the earth for this vital hour. Next Sunday evening, we're speaking on the subject, the Antichrist battles the church. This is our subject next Sunday evening, the Antichrist battles the church. Do not forget this. Let's fill this auditorium as we discuss these vital subjects in this hour when we need to understand and know every facet of these situations. Shall we stand? Almighty and eternal Father, invoke the unction of thy Holy Spirit and benediction to rest upon these thy children. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.